So it's important that we not be obedient to authority, that we always recognize our choice. But it's also important to recognize that rebellion is only halfway to being fully free. If we're rebelling against authority, we're still recognizing its power over us. When we're really conscious that we are free to choose in any situation, in any environment. I keep a picture in my office. It's actually a cartoon that helps me remember that no matter what structure we're within, we're free. It shows two prisoners in a prison cell strapped to the wall. It's obvious they've been in there a long time because they're both very thin. They both have long beards. And one turns to the other and says, "Now here's my plan." I like that cartoon to remind myself that no matter what structure I'm in, they may control the environment, but they can't control me. I'm free within any structure to choose what I want to do and why I want to do it. I want to be open to what the authorities have to say, but I want to be sure that I never give power to authority to limit my choices. Now, of course, when we are within those institutions and we exercise our freedom, we need to be aware that especially if it is an institution that uses punishment and rewards, that exercising our autonomy can be scary at times. I remember that in an institution that I worked that had punishments and rewards called a university, one day I was in my office and my superior came to my office and said, "Dr. Rosenberg, your grades have not been handed in." This administrator at the university was bringing to my attention that there was a rule that said grades must be given, and they must be given at a certain date and handed in. And I hadn't done that. And so when he said, "Your grades haven't been handed in," I thought I'd bring a little light to it. And I said, "You're very perceptive." He didn't like my sense of humor, and he got even more annoyed. And he said, "I'm repeating myself. Your grades have not been handed in." And I said, "I'm choosing not to give grades." And he said, "You have to give grades." I said, "I'm choosing not to give grades." See, it wasn't easy for him to be conscious that just because there are rules and that say you have to do things, he was stuck thinking you have to do it. And I'm trying to tell him that for various reasons I'm choosing to do something else. He said, "Why aren't you handing in your grades?" I said, "I did write the second day of the semester a letter to the dean telling the dean why I would choose another form of evaluation other than grades. In that letter that I sent to him, I told him that I've noticed from past research here at the college that minority students get 80% of failing grades. They're 50% of the population. I would not want to participate in any evaluation system that discriminates on the basis of race, culture, level of income of parents. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is I'm aware of research that shows that grades contain almost no reliability about what this person really knows. Two students can get the same grade from two different teachers in the same subject. You don't know that those students have learned the same thing or can do the same things. And also, grades lead students to learn to get rewards, the reward of grades. I only want my students to do things if they see how it's going to enrich their life. What I will do is give a very clear statement, measurable statement, of what the students can do at the end of the semester that they weren't able to do at the beginning. I put all of that in a letter to the dean and said I'd be glad to talk about this if he had some concerns, but I haven't heard from him. But does that answer your question of why I'm choosing to do something else other than give grades. Now, of course, they could have fired me in that institution, which they did later, but not for that. It was another rule that I didn't follow to their satisfaction, and they chose to fire me. So you do have to be aware that within those institutions of the consequences of living in harmony with your own values. But what I'm saying now, I would hope that we help ourselves and others develop, is a consciousness that no matter what the structure, that we not give away our values and succumb to what the structure tells us to do, that we have our own spirituality clear enough defined and we know how to manifest it so we can sustain it regardless of what institution we are working in or what government is controlling us. Now, some of the groups that I work with find this much harder to accept than others. For example, I work with the military in a few countries, and military officers often react rather strongly when I suggest that people are always free to choose, and that in position of authority, I would want to respect that right of people to choose. And that my experience has been that when they see that I respect their right, they are far more open to whatever I have to say that might be of value than if I use a language that implies they have no choice but to do what I tell them to do. And very often this is strongly disagreed with. They tell me that these people have no choice. They have to do what I tell them. And yet the same people will also ask me a while later, what do you do when you tell somebody to do things and they don't do it? So it's hard for people in those positions to become conscious that you can't control people. You can control the environment, but you cannot control people. And when we are in a position of authority, it is not our objective to control people. It is to offer people what we have to offer from our position of authority, but not to impose it.